Hey, it's Chris Jones with the Jones Zone, and this episode of the podcast is brought to you by the Jones Zone at Keller Williams Realty. That's right, we sponsor our own podcast. So if you know of anybody looking to buy, sell, rent, or invest in residential real estate in the Charlotte, Rock Hill, Fort Mill area, have them connect with us on their favorite platform. Enjoy the show.
It's Chris and Brian Jones, your real estate advocates, community connectors, talking Charlotte and York County area real estate and interviewing business owners, entrepreneurs, and community leaders. Welcome to the Jones Zone Podcast.
You ain't count me down?
Count you down. We got from five or three?
Jeez.
We'll do three this time.
All right, three.
All right, three, two. Shut up, man. Sorry. Let me do it. You know, we've been doing this a year. You never let me finish. Three, two, one. Hit it, Chris.
Welcome to the Jones Zone Podcast on this rainy Friday afternoon in Charlotte, man. How's your day been, Brian?
Gloomy.
It's been gloomy.
Looking outside the window, just seeing this, was it dreary?
Yeah, it's, it feels like a December day.
It does. It really does. But it's 72 degrees. But other than that, it looks like a December
day. And there's no sign of Christmas.
There's no sign of Christmas. Yeah.
All right, man. Well, let's get into it.
Let's do it, man.
Today, we are joined by Albert Polanco, who is an author, a marketing consultant, a podcast host. This guy flies drones. He's a videographer. And most importantly, and I'm sure something he's probably the most proud of, he's a Marine Corps veteran. His new book, Your Life Blueprint, Discover Your Passion, Purpose, and Progress, hit number one on Amazon. And it not only answers some of the burning questions about how to get what you want from life and create the life of your dreams, it offers a step-by-step system to follow. Albert, welcome to the Jones Zone, man. Good to have you.
Hey, man. Thank you guys, both of you. I'm really grateful to be here. I'm excited to be here. Thank you guys for having me on today.
Absolutely.
Yeah,
man.
Dude. So,
thank you for coming.
That was a quick, brief introduction, but if you don't mind, walk us through some of your personal story and some of your professional background and then how you got into doing all the cool things you're doing.
Okay. So you said I was all these different things, and all these things are true. I started my entrepreneurship journey when I was 13 years old, right? And it came out of a struggle and a pain of like not being able to have what I want, right? And I was sitting in bed and I figured, okay, I need to figure this out. And it hit me and I was like, okay, I'm gonna build computers for people, right? So I'm a 13-year-old kid and I'm building like $3,000 gaming computers without owning the computers or having the parts, right? And I'm selling them on eBay, getting the money, building them, sending them out, right? That was the beginning of my journey. And from that moment, I went on to just do different things. Like I wanted to create. I found I was happiest creating. But along the way, I screwed a lot of things up. I messed a lot of things up. And so I joined the Marine Corps and I was an entrepreneur while I was in the Marine Corps. I was into music and stuff. And I came out of the Marine Corps and I started a marketing company. And I've been doing my own marketing because, again, out of need. I didn't have the money to hire a marketing company, so I had to teach myself this stuff. And so I started a marketing company, and I was selling services and stuff like that, like web design and SEO and all this stuff. But that just wasn't, it just wasn't making me happy. So I bounced around to different things. I ended up becoming a marketing director for a couple of companies, and I really did well because I was good at graphic design and all these different pieces. And that led me to becoming a... I fell in love with drones. I saw drones, and man, I fell in love with that. Being able to fly something and see the world from a different point of view. That was just so cool. And that led me into becoming a videographer. I quit my job that I had as a marketing director and got my first client as a documentary. Just jumped in. Like, I just got my camera and then quit. It's like, okay, and got my first thing. And so it was just this recurring thing that I'm rapidly evolving, looking for what I wanted to do, right? And obviously I was a Marine Corps veteran, that played a part in my life, but it was always, when I was in the Marine Corps, it went against my entrepreneurial spirit, because in the Marine Corps you have to fit into a box, right? And so I had a lot of trouble with that. I had a lot of trouble being like everyone else. I got into a lot of trouble. I was a little rebel, you know, got myself into trouble a few times. But it was all, throughout every failure, there was a lesson, you know, and I learned to be grateful for the things that you screw up, right? And so, like, drone pilot, I was a drone pilot. I got certified. I got to travel and fly drones in, like, Taiwan with a company that I was working with, doing video stuff. I loved videography, and I just loved doing that. But I came to the realization is, like, I'm not making an impact, right? This is something I love to do. It's super cool hobby. I'm not going to make the money that I want to make doing this, and I'm not really making an impact. So I put that stuff away. I sold all my drone stuff. I sold most of my camera gear besides what I need to do my own content and for clients. And now I'm focused on helping business owners to become free. Like, and what I mean by that is, like, you can own a business and still be a slave, right?
Oh, yeah.
And my whole life has been about creating freedom. It's been chasing freedom. And I was that person who wasn't free. And now I, through all this journey, through these different things that I did, I kind of found something that I was able to find freedom, and I want to help others to do that. So that's kind of like drawn out story of where I'm at now. Our focus is the consulting side of things, helping business owners get free.
That's awesome, man. Hey, let's rewind back. I need you to share that story about the computers when you were a kid. It's too good. Like, how did you get started with that? And then tell people what you actually did. I know the story, but people that are listening probably don't. So walk us through what you did on eBay and stuff. That's classic.
So when I can't remember exactly what it was that I needed or wanted, but I know that I felt hopeless and depressed. I remember that feeling of, like, I can't have this because we're poor, right? And I put my head, I was struggling with this idea, like, what am I going to do? And I come from, my dad has been an entrepreneur, you know, since he was a little kid too. And so it's just built in, I guess. But I was like, okay, how do I figure this out? And I was stressing myself out, and I was laying in bed one night, and I was, like, tossing and turning. I was like, I have to figure this out. And I had been learning how to build a computer. Like, building computers was, like, new, and I bought my first computer off eBay, and I took it all apart, and I broke it, and I had to look up on forums and figure out how this stuff worked, how to install this, what the hard drives did. I just like to tinker with things. And a little funny side story, right? I had this fire truck, right? I was little, I don't remember how old, but I had this fire truck, and somebody told me, and I didn't realize until years later, somebody told me, like, hey, inside of this fire truck, they have water and air and all this stuff, right? And this fire truck was, like, heavy duty, like die-cast metal and stuff. And so as a kid, I, like, destroyed this thing, like, with like screwdrivers, like trying to pry in to find the water and the air and stuff. And I didn't find anything. And it wasn't until years later that I realized, like, oh, they're talking about real fire trucks, hoses and water hoses and air and all this stuff. It took me, like, I'm pretty sure I was in my teenage years before I figured out why I did that. And so I guess it was just in my nature to take things apart, see how they work and figure it out. So that's what I was doing with computers. And it just hit me in that night. I was like, I got it. Like, I'm just going to build computers and sell them, because I bought mine off eBay. I could have somebody buy it. I don't have the computer. And then I can order the parts, and then I can ship it to them, right? This is my little 13-year-old brain going all crazy, right? I wasn't even old enough to have, like, a PayPal account.
So I was going
to
say, it's got to be
my dad into helping me do this. And I'm sure he was like, what is going on with this internet thing? But he just saw me taking stuff apart, so he let me do it, right? Which I'm super grateful for. And I made a bunch of money. Like, what I did was I found cool cases, and I posted, like, good specs for gaming computers. Hey, this is what you're going to get. We're going to test it. We're going to load all this stuff on there, and we'll ship it to you. I mean, they didn't know that it didn't exist yet. They just knew this is what they were getting. So they paid for it. The auction ended. I took the money that they paid. I ordered the parts. I built the computer. I tested it, and I shipped it out to them, right? And it worked. And so I made a bunch of money as a 13-year-old kid, but I didn't know what to do with it. Like, I was just dumb with it, right? And so things got too competitive in that space, and eventually I kind of, you know, I took it as I failed, right? It was a huge failure. I didn't realize what I had done until literally, like, this month. What the power behind that idea that I had, what I actually did. Somebody else drew it out of me when they're like, that's not normal, you know? I thought I had failed. And so that's kind of the story of what started everything.
So you were building computers at 13. You know what I was doing when I was 13? I was still playing with wrestling dolls.
Wrestling figures.
Wrestling figures, yeah, not dolls. Wrestling figures. I had the little ring. I had the Sting, little Sting and Macho Man.
Yeah, that was like in the height of WCW days, right?
It was. So, yeah.
Go ahead. Sorry about that. I interrupted.
No, it's cool. I guess I was a little bit more mature for my age. I was still a kid, right? But my dad used to have me... I used to like being around my dad, and my dad is 72 now, right? So he was always older. He had me when he was in his 40s. And so I'd always be around him and his friends, and they were all older. And I'm like the kid, right? Just listening. So it's like it wore off, you know what I'm saying? So it kind of like wore off on me, I guess, maybe.
Yeah, so what made you get into the military? Why didn't you pursue your entrepreneurial endeavors?
So 9/11 happened, right? 9/11 happened, and I remember where I was. I was in my social studies class, and it came over the speaker, and they said something bad had happened, and they were sending everyone home. And to be honest, a lot of stuff happened, but it was really hazy. But all I remember was going into my room and watching the towers get hit, and it was just replaying and replaying. And there was something really wrong. Like, it's the first time in my life that, probably not the first time, but for in that moment, I felt that pain, right? Of all the people that were there, it was not a movie. These are dead people, right?
Yeah.
And it was like, it's like as if I knew them, right? And I was just like crying. Like, I was younger, right? But I was crying about it. And I was just like, that planted a seed, right? That planted a seed that years later, I was like, I got to do something about this. And then somehow I got this idea because I was into video games and stuff. And, you know, I wanted to do a G.I. Joe type stuff, right? I ended up looking at different services. It was between, I was thinking about Air Force because I was like, oh, I love airplanes. But then I saw the Marine Corps and I was like, no, I want to be a badass. And go after that.
Well, as an Air Force veteran, I could tell you that there are some Air Force badasses.
Yeah, oh yeah.
You're looking at one, right?
If they get sent to the Marines. They're like, you're too good.
Special Forces was what I was looking at. That was that's what I wanted to go do. Like I forget what they were called. Yeah. I was just drawn to that, like, you know, typical young kid.
And then how long were you in the military?
What's that?
How long were you in the service?
I did 5 years in the Marine Corps.
And all the while, you had that entrepreneurial fire still burning. You couldn't quite.
He was buying MREs and selling them for a profit.
I was like selling. I was like doing graphics and websites for like musicians and stuff. Cause I was into music too. I was doing music while I was out there, and I got so much shit for that stuff. Like I just was the round peg in a and they're trying to put it in the square hole. I just wouldn't.
They're like, Albert, we have a mission at hand, and you're over here.
Polanco, get over here!
Get over here!
So, let's talk about your book, man. Why'd you decide to write it?
Okay, so that's a good question. So, I read one book, right? I remember, I don't want to go way back, but I liked reading when I was a kid, right? And there was a whole long period of time that I stopped reading. But I had this book called The 7 Habits of Highly Effective People, and we've been sitting around for like a year. And by this time, I had already screwed up my life in several different ways. And I picked up that book, and I read that book by Stephen Covey. And there was one habit that said, I think it's habit number 5, it's like, seek to understand before asking to be understood, right? And so I took this one concept and I used it in a really hard situation involving the mother of my child. And I sought to understand her instead of asking to be understood, right? There was a lot of drama. There was disconnection there between me and my daughter. I couldn't see her, all this, just really bad stuff, right? And I applied this one thing in this book, this big 300 or 400 page book, and things changed like overnight. And I was like, holy shit. Okay, if I just applied one thing, what if I read other books and applied a bunch of things, right? And so then I started searching and searching, and I found that the average, you know, millionaire reads like 60 books a year. And I was like, well, I'm gonna read 60 books a year. And I went a little crazy. I read like over 70 something books, right, within a year. And now it's over, like, I think almost 200 books, almost approaching 200 books, audible and visual and physical books, right? But what I found was I was reading all these books, but I couldn't apply some of these things. A lot of it was high-level theory. It was like, oh, we're going to motivate you to do something, but then we're not going to tell you how to do it. And there was no clear, like, do this, do that, right? I couldn't apply it. So then little by little, I started getting these ideas and trying to take pieces from different books and, like, put it in a concrete form, right? And I remember there was this piece of paper with check marks. Literally, like, I would X things out as I did them in the day. And I made so much progress from this one sheet with just Xing things out. So I was like, okay, what if I make a binder that I can set all my goals and put everything together and everything connects and I can apply all these different principles from all these different books and I can use this to get what I want in my life, right? And so I did that. I spent a lot of time figuring out what I wanted, mapping out my goals based on what different people said, I put it on paper, put it in a binder, and now I had this thing, right? I had these big goals for the year, and I planned my year before the year started. It was like I start in like November for the next year. Well, I was using this and I was making like huge progress. I was like, something that I thought would take me like 6 months, I was doing in a month because I was tracking my progress and then reviewing what I was doing for the week and reflecting and seeing how I could do better. And it was all in front of me on paper, right? And I was like, I have to share this. I have to share this. And let me tell you, I suck at grammar. I'm not a writer, right? And the only thing that stood in my mind was like, you have to write a book. And it was so daunting. I was like, how am I going to write a book? So then I went to look for training on how to write a book, right? And I just found the first person that simplified things. And I just did what they said, right? And I wrote my book. I banged it out. And that's really the reason why. It's like, I got so many results that I was like, I have to share this with the world. Like, people need to see that this can work, right?
Yeah.
You can apply what you read in these books.
Awesome, man. So that's good stuff. Who is this book for?
Oh, man. So the book is for, literally, that's my first chapter. It's like, who am I writing this for? People like me, right? I struggled with procrastination. I wanted to do so many things. I was a dreamer. I had such big goals, but I didn't know where to start, right? I didn't know what to do. People who, they wanted to be, they liked learning. They liked being self-directed learners, but they just didn't know how to start, right? Overcoming procrastination. People who were into self-development, but they just wanted a system. They wanted something to help them. That's basically who I wrote it for. People who had big dreams and wanted to accomplish big things.
So you wrote it like specifically for me, sounds like.
Yeah, dreamers. I mean, anybody who just has ambition in life, you know?
Would you mind breaking some of the book down? I mean, what are some of the common tips? I don't want you to give away everything, but what are some of the common themes or some of the common strategies that you're giving to people in this book?
So the core concept of this is that I want people to understand is that we are creators, right? We literally are creators. Everything in your world, everything was created by someone, right? Aside from nature, right? Everything that's man-made, your house, the phone that you have, everything was created, right? And it wasn't created out of thin air, but it was, right? It first starts in the mind, right? And I use the example of a home, of a house. Before a house is built, an architect dreams it up. Or let's say you want a house, you're like, oh, I want a house like this. So you dream it up in your head, right? And before the house can be built, you have to put blueprints together. There has to be a plan, detail, like which type of wood you're going to use, what bricks you're going to use, like all these different intricate plan, which is called a blueprint. And then contractors can then take that blueprint and then create it. And so that's one of the core concepts is that you have to create, things are created three times, not once. Once in the mind, then on paper, right? I call it paper, but it can be on a computer. And then in reality, you use the plan that you make, the blueprint that you make, and then you use that to create this thing that you want. Well, why do we think that life, the life that you want, is any different? You know, most of us think, not most of us, but a lot of people believe that we're creatures of circumstance, but we create our circumstances, right? You create those things. And so if you want this amazing life, then you have to figure it out in your head, but then get it out of your head and put it on paper, right? And that's your blueprint. And then you take this plan and then you follow this plan to get build what you want, right? You can't just randomly stumble into this life that you want. You know, that's one of the core concepts. And then I just create a system around how to do that, how to improve the goal setting process, which, you know, you can set goals all you want, but it's your habits that really lead you to where you're going to end up.
Yeah.
So that's a critical piece that I saw missing in almost all the goal setting books. It's like, oh, let's set these goals. Let's figure out what you want. It's like, well, how do I achieve them? You know, goals, the word goals is kind of like now synonymous with, reminds people of failure, right? I have a goal to lose weight. And they, oh, I tried that already. I failed, right? So it's like attacking the core root of why people don't reach their goals is because their habits don't align with their goals. So like, how do you formulate the habits that are going to put your goals on autopilot, right? If you focus on the habits, then your goals automatically just start to happen. But you have to take a goal and then figure out a relevant habit that will align with that, that makes it easier. So the example, one of the examples I use is like, if you want to lose weight, right? Number one, you should probably, how do I word this? Phrase your goal in not something that's negative. It should be like, I want to be my ideal healthy weight. I want to be healthy, not versus losing. That's like psychology. But the other part is like, what's the habit? So my habit was, weigh myself every day, right? Because if I weighed myself every day, I knew which direction I was going. That's just one little thing that I could do that would every single day, and I would measure it. I would write it down, measure it. Okay, today I weighed this much. Tomorrow I weighed this, and I'd weigh myself every single day at the same time. And so I'd know which direction I was going, if I was on track or off track. And so that would lead to another habit, you know? So that's kind of like, there's more to this, but yeah. That's kind of like the beginning of the book. Yeah. The beginning core concept around it. And then the periods of reflection, like you have to course correct, like review what you've done for the week, right? Pre-plan your week, first of all. And then review what you've done for the week and look at what you did right, look at what you did wrong, look at your wins, your failures, and then reframe failure, because failure is your best friend, right? If you look at failures as like, how does this make me better? How do I use this to improve? Then you take the pain away from the failure. Because pain, failure is painful, right? You feel like, I'm a screw up, and I know failure, okay? And I know what it did to me personally, and so I found a way to reframe the failure. So it's just a series of questions that you ask yourself, and you document it. Everything is in writing. You can't use your brain. Your brain's not for storing things. You have to externalize it in writing, right? So once you see it on paper, you're like, oh, okay. And then you use that. How am I going to apply this moving forward? And so every day, every week, you're making progress and you're seeing that progress. And that sets you on fire and starts momentum and, you know, and sends you into something I call the habit loop.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Or not the habit loop, the momentum loop. Sorry.
Momentum loop. What are some of the things you implement in your personal life daily? Whether do you have a routine or a certain structure that you follow?
Absolutely. It's constantly evolving. And I've struggled with a lot of structure to having some freedom, right? But I noticed that when I set myself up in the morning to win, my days are 1,000% better, right? So first thing I do when I wake up is I meditate. I'm heavy into meditation. It's changed my life. I go into a little bit in the book. I meditate every morning. I do a little bit of journaling in the morning. I do some kind of physical activity. Right, I have to work out in some way. Like, you don't have to go work out at the gym 3 hours, but you need to get your body moving. You have to. There's so many reasons psychologically, emotionally, and also just physiologically in your body what it does to you. Those are the core things, right? I also in the mornings will listen to something positive. I heavily control what comes into my ears, my eyes. Like, I do not watch the news. I don't really watch TV. Like, I'm in control of what's coming in, because garbage in, garbage out, yeah. Right? So great things in, great things out. So that's basically meditation, working out, learning something, and then I try to share that with someone, right? That's essentially my routine. And all of this stuff is getting X'd out and tracked, right? I have like a scoring system that I use.
So when you journal, what are you journaling about? Like your goals, your failures, what you were kind of what you were talking about earlier? Or?
So I journal typically right after my meditation. And so I like guided meditations. Like right now I'm listening to a guy named Deepak Chopra.
Yeah, yeah.
And he's got like guided meditations he did with Oprah. And I went and bought them. You don't have to buy them, but there's all kinds of meditations. But basically I've been listening because like he shares something and then you go into a meditation. And so I've just been writing what comes to me, right? And why I'm doing that is because I believe we all have this inner voice, right? There's that voice inside that you know is kind of like taking you different ways in life. And a lot of times we find that that's our intuition. And I can't fully explain that voice or what it is, but I know that every time I didn't listen to it, it turned out bad. And every time I did listen to it, I did something right. And when I, after I meditate, I can actually hear that thing. What is a problem that I'm facing or something? And I just start writing about that in that moment. So it's not always just goals. I forgot to mention though, I do write my goals down the night before and then I rewrite them in the morning. So that while I'm sleeping, my mind's like sitting there working on those. Oh, you got to do all these things. And then the first thing in the morning, I'm realigning myself. Okay, these are the things I got to do today. Right. And then I start my day.
What are some lessons you've learned from the military and how has that helped you in your entrepreneurship journey?
That's a great question. From the military, I learned that discipline, right? And this is funny, right? I didn't get discipline until years after the Marine Corps because the Marine Corps made you do things. Right? That's not discipline. I hated waking up at 4 a.m. and going to run like 4 miles. I mean, that was miserable, right? So I was a rebel, right? So anytime I could try to get away with something, I would. And that's what got me in trouble. But discipline
hiding under the
in
blanket.
Your life, what's that?
So hiding under the blanket in the morning. Where's Polanco?
Man, it was such a time, and it's funny because the guys that serve with me, they're like, man, you've like changed so much. Like you have all this discipline and da da da. And I'm like, I'm not that disciplined, but I force myself to do things now. But discipline creates some freedom in your life, right? Having some discipline to say you're going to do something and then doing it matters most to yourself, the commitments that you hold to yourself, right? It's not really about the commitments that you hold to others. It's the commitments that you hold for you. Because if you can keep your own commitments to you, then you can keep commitments to other people, right? And so the lesson was that the military would have never worked if they didn't have that discipline, if you didn't have structure, if you didn't have a system, right? So that's kind of like the biggest takeaways, like looking back and looking now, it's like, man, that if I would have just been more disciplined even when I just got out, I would be 10 times where I am now.
Yeah.
Right. But you live and you learn, right? It's never too late to start doing something.
Well, let's talk about where you are now. What exactly are you doing now? You guys have the Crucible. Sorry, I misspoke. The Crucible Strategic Advising, and I mean, what are some of the things that you're doing today?
Yeah. So we started. Me and my business partner Ryan Reed. He is also a Marine Corps veteran. We served together, and he's a firefighter, a father. Just an awesome, like, I call him a superhero.
Yeah,
right?
No kidding.
And so we started this company with just this vision to make a lot of money and help businesses, right? That was, you know, we had all these different ideas. We wanted to make an impact. And we started doing a lot of different services, and now we've really narrowed it down to what, like, the core things that really matter. And so, like I was telling you before, what matters... what we want to do is we want to help business owners become free from the slavery of being a slave to their business, right? And how do you do that? Well, with systems, right? What we believe is leadership, strategy, and marketing. We always say that in that order. Leadership is the key to everything, right? You have to be a self-leader in order to be able to lead a team. And you have to use your leadership position to develop a strategy, and that strategy has to align with your marketing. And so it all interconnects. But the big push right now is customer acquisition systems. So helping businesses to acquire new customers and systemizing that process. And then the other part is like systems inside of the business. So like operation systems, right? So how do you operate your business? You need an operations manual, right? If you're just reacting and putting out fires all the time, like how can you grow your business? You're not in control. So helping business owners to do that is key. So we're using like marketing funnels and paid advertising to get new customers in, and then doing the automation stuff behind that. That's essentially what we're doing with businesses right now.
That's awesome, man. What kind of software do you guys usually recommend, or what are people usually using out there?
So there's a lot of different there's a lot of different tools that work. Personally, I have hovered around, because I have a web development background, I ended up moving into the WordPress because it was so easy. There's so much support. You know, now I hate websites, right? Myself, like I have a team that we hire that I know everything I need to know about it, but I don't like doing that stuff. So WordPress is a cool platform to use, but really I'm even moving away from full on websites, right? Mm-hmm. Marketing funnels, having a funnel. So like stuff like ClickFunnels is amazing. You got lead pages, you got all these different ones. My favorite is ClickFunnels. Just because the difference between a website and a funnel is like, your website is like all this different distracting stuff, mm-hmm. and doesn't make you money, right? Yeah. But a funnel is like having a salesperson walk up to your customer and say, hey, come here. You know, you're looking for this. Let me guide you through the different processes to make you money, right? So it's like a real big shift that I'm seeing is like simplifying things, getting your message clear. Like, what are you actually selling? And it's not the product that you're selling, right? I'm getting
No, we're on topic. Yeah, you got to the attractive character and all that. Trip
and active campaign also for automations.
Where are you putting the, I guess for lack of a better term, like the clickbait and stuff? Is that mainly Facebook and stuff or Google? Or how are you getting people to click on?
How are you driving traffic?
What's the first point of entry?
Okay, yeah, that's a great question. Traffic was a huge thing we struggled with for a long time, like prior to Crucible. Figure out this traffic thing. I was into SEO. I was selling SEO services, all that stuff. What we do now to drive traffic is Facebook ads. There's like 2 billion people on Facebook. Your audience is on Facebook. So we're using ads. We're paying for them. We have high converting, you know, we create high converting offers, you know, things that your audience cares about. And that's how we're driving traffic, through paid traffic.
Awesome. You've used the phrase being a slave to your business and stuff. Do you mind breaking that down a little bit? I mean, I think business owners, like people, they think they're out on their own and they're still working 70, 80, 90 hours a week or more. I mean, is that kind of where you were going with that? And then how do people get out of that rut?
Yeah, so I am a chronic, and I have suffered from workaholic, right?
Yeah.
Is entrepreneurs, we have these big dreams and we feel like, man, you feel guilty, right? If I'm not working 7 days a week, it's Sunday and if I'm not working, I'm like, oh shit, I need to be doing this, I need to be doing that. So that's not healthy, and it leads to burnout, right? And you think you're being effective, but you're really not. What that really says is that you don't know what you're doing, right? And I had to come to terms with this. I'm working so hard, but what was my bank account saying?
Mm-hmm.
I'm working so hard, but how many problems did I have in my businesses? And so it's like, okay, let's step back, right? And figure out what I need to do, because you can't scale this. You didn't start your business so that you were a slave to it, to where you work, like you said, 80, 90 hours a week. Don't spend any time with your family, ruin your personal relationships. Don't spend any time with your kids. You have no personal life. You have no social life. And you're trying to build this thing, and you're trying to do it all on your own, or you're basically a slave. Like I call it having a job where you have to pay the rent and everyone else's bills.
Yeah.
And then you're the last one to get money. And they've sold us this bullshit. Excuse my language. This idea that you have to hustle your face off 24/7, right?
Yeah.
To get anywhere. And in reality, there's people who don't have to hustle their face off, and they build systems. Mm. Systems create freedom. So that's how you get out of being a slave to your business. Is you need to get out of being working in your business and working on your business. How can I make this thing operate like a system, right? How can I make it turn into like the franchise model? How do I make this work, right? Everybody says you can't do it, but there's other businesses who are doing it.
You've read E Myth Revisited, yeah?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Good book.
Great book.
Have you seen The Founder?
I have not yet. I haven't seen that yet either.
Have you not seen that?
You told me about it, but I haven't seen it.
You gotta check that out. Just for the first half hour alone.
Yeah.
It's like...
That's with Ray Kroc, right?
Yeah.
McDonald's Brothers.
Stumbles across
McDonald's. It's an interesting concept that I heard the other day also. It's like entrepreneurship is not about the idea generation either, right? It's like they're behind every idea guy, there's a sales guy.
Yeah.
Right, the sales guy, you know, you might not call them sales guys, but Steve Jobs was a sales guy.
Yeah.
Right? Elon Musk is a sales guy. Right?
Speaking of which, did you hear about Richard Branson investing in Hyperloop?
No, I haven't. Yeah, I'm a huge fan of Richard Branson's leadership style.
Yeah.
And Elon Musk and all the things he's involved with.
Yeah, it's going to be called the Virgin Hyperloop or something like that when it's finished.
Cool, man.
Yeah.
Those two titans getting together, that's really cool.
Scary stuff, yeah, man. Well, not scary, scary in a good way. But yeah. All right, well, Albert, just take us home, man. How can our listeners contact you, and where can they find your book and all that good stuff?
Okay, so you can find the book. I have a website for the book. It's called mylifedesignblueprint.com. And then also it's on Amazon. I have it on Amazon as Kindle book. I have it as a paperback book, and I recorded and narrated my own book as an audiobook, because I definitely like audiobooks. So you can get it on Amazon. You can just look up Your Life Design Blueprint, and then or mylifedesignblueprint.com is the website where you can get it.
Okay. Yeah, that's audiobooks are a major educational hack, man. Yeah. I haven't listened to music in so long. Whether it's a podcast or audiobook, that's the way to go.
Okay. Yes, I agree. You can be in your car. Like, time that you couldn't do anything, like driving in your car, you can listen.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So.
All right. Well, good stuff, man. Appreciate you coming on the Jones Zone podcast. Guys, if you're wanting to check out the book, go to Amazon, check it out. It is Your Life Blueprint, Discover Your Passion, Purpose, and Progress. And find him on Facebook, Albert Polanco, Polanco.
That's right. All right, Albert. Thanks for coming on the Jones Zone.
Man, I appreciate you guys.
Thanks,
y'all have an awesome, awesome day. Thank you, too, guys.
Take it easy.
All right, guys.
Thanks so much for listening to the Jones Zone podcast with Chris and Brian Jones. We'll catch you on the next episode.